What's up, sunshine? Welcome to CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. We have a big show today, and our lead story is a divisive topic. The main goal of this show is to be a conduit for the stories that are happening around the world with no opinion, no slant, just the facts. So we'll do our best to break down the biggest news event out of the U.S. this week, a fatal shooting of a U.S. citizen by a federal agent in Minneapolis. It's the second such shooting this month. We won't show the entire video of the events that occurred, but for any of you who don't want to see any of it, I don't blame you. You can just fast forward to about the 4-minute mark of the show where our other news stories begin. All right, let's get you your news. On Saturday, January 24th, 37-year-old Alex Preddy, an American citizen and ICU nurse at a local veterans hospital, was shot and killed by a Border Patrol agent. Those federal agents have been working alongside Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, or ICE. The altercation happened just blocks away from where U.S. citizen Renee Good was shot and killed during an altercation with ICE agents on January 7th. Here's part of the disturbing video before Preddy was shot. Some eyewitnesses say that Preddy was filming a group of ICE agents and tried to help a woman who they'd pushed to the ground. They said Preddy then appeared to be pepper sprayed and wrestled to the ground himself. Moments later, a series of gunshots left Preddy dead. Officials say a handgun was found on Preddy. Local and state officials and law enforcement condemned the Border Patrol agents' actions and again demanded that the federal government withdraw ICE agents from their state. As for the federal government's account, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller referred to Preddy as, quote, an assassin who, quote, tried to murder federal agents. The Department of Homeland Security said it, quote, looks like Preddy wanted to do maximum damage and massacre law enforcement, unquote.
This individual went and impeded their law enforcement operations, attacked those officers, had a weapon on him and multiple dozens of rounds of ammunition, wishing to inflict harm on these officers coming brandishing like that.
The federal government's account is being widely disputed by leaders at the local, state, and national level, citing that nobody has shown any evidence that Preddy sought to kill anyone. The Minneapolis police chief said Preddy had a permit to carry the gun and was allowed to have it on him as he was protesting in a public place. The Minneapolis mayor is casting even more scrutiny on these escalating incidents.
How many more residents? How many more Americans need to die or get badly hurt for this operation to end? How many more lives need to be lost before this administration realizes that a political and partisan narrative is not as important as American values?
Memorials to Alex Preddy spread throughout the city over the weekend. State officials have sued the federal government over access to investigate the shooting. A judge has granted a temporary restraining order blocking federal agencies from destroying evidence from the incident. President Donald Trump and other administration officials firmly defended the immigration enforcement tactics in Minneapolis, blaming the state and local law enforcement for not working with them. Noam echoed that sentiment, praising local officials in Memphis, Tennessee, where there is a Democrat mayor in place, saying, quote, he worked with us and our federal law enforcement officers, and we saw murder rates drop by 50% because of that partnership, unquote. Just before this taping, a glimmer of bipartisanship. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and President Trump held a phone call where Walz requested they work together. And the president said, quote, we actually seem to be on a similar wavelength, unquote. 10-second trivia. What is the primary purpose of cursive handwriting? Formality, speed, easier reading for children, or reducing ink usage? If you said speed, quick thinking. In the late 1800s, cursive became the main form of handwriting taught in grammar schools. The decline of cursive usage today has led some young adults to adopt signatures some of their friends can't read. These days, a lot of people only use cursive writing for one thing, signing their name. But at one middle school in Alexandria, Virginia, students are learning how to use it for a whole lot more. Not that long ago, cursive was a regular part of the school day. Students practiced loops and lines in class, but as typing, texting, and screens took over, cursive slowly disappeared from a lot of classrooms. At Holmes Middle School in Fairfax County Public Schools, multilingual learner specialist Sharice Kennerson says the idea to bring it back started with a moment she did not expect.
I was writing on the board in cursive, and the students who were rising sixth graders looked at me like I had a strange thing on my head. And I'm like, what's going on? They said, we don't know what you're writing.
So she started the Cursive Club, giving students a chance to develop their individuality and learn a skill a lot of adults grew up with.
I mean, these students now can write in cursive, and some of their teachers can't read it. I had a student say to me, my teacher told me I can't practice cursive in the classroom because they're not familiar with how to read it. So you have that, hey, I can, that's my superpower.
Here's what some of her students have to say.
I would say that it's really cool to learn something new and like to be one of the few people who know it and having a lot of good people with you while you learn those things is really cool.
I've been using it for all of my assignments since it feels easier than print. Planning to use it when I write checks when I'm older. Read the Declaration of Independence.
Usually I'm like on like the computer 24/7 because at like most of my classes they want us to be like doing like typing stuff on the computer. So then like Cursive Club, no texting because like Mrs. Kenderson said, like when you're typing you're on like a 1, but then like when you're doing like regular writing you're on like a 5, and then like when you're in doing cursive your brain's like on a 10. It's just like really hyped.
Cursive may have faded as screens took over the classroom, but here it's making a comeback. One loop, line, and very focused brain at a time. For more about this story, you can check out our CNN Friends podcast, 5 Good Things. Much of the country is currently dealing with the frigid aftermath of this weekend's sprawling winter storm. 18 different states saw more than a foot of snow. As of this taping, more than 800,000 people were still without power due to devastating amounts of ice. But in snow-stricken Oklahoma, a group of off-road enthusiasts are turning their 4x4s into a force for good, becoming a lifeline for essential employees. Check it out.
We like to take care of our community. This is where we live. This is where we go to work at. We got 7 dispatchers. We've got up to close to 30 Jeeps running the last couple of days. You know, people in nursing homes, they've got to be staffed because no matter what the weather does, people are going to need help. You know, the medical staff is constantly going. It doesn't matter what's happening outside. That ball keeps spinning. And we figured, hey, we can just get together and help some people out. Everybody we've picked up has been extremely grateful. They tell us left and right, like, you know, thank you. I can't believe you guys do this. You know, how are you doing it for free? Why are you doing it for free? That's because we like to help. And we're not doing it for the thanks. We're just doing it for make sure that people are in place to help those in need.
Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is straight fire, getting jalapeno business.
It's definitely one of the spiciest things I've had.
That's 12-year-old Frankie Martinez talking about his newest hot sauce with a peculiar name, Blowtorch. He has his own business named Frankie's Spicy Farm, and Blowtorch is made with ghost peppers and Carolina Reapers, 2 of the hottest peppers on the planet. His other sauces were made with kids and non-spicy lovers in mind, but Frankie says this new sauce is for those who can take the heat. Frankie started selling homemade hot sauce at a local farmer's market in South Boston, Virginia, when he was just 8 years old. His sauces are commercially bottled, selling about 20 bottles a month and winning awards along the way. But the road wasn't always mild.
Department of Agriculture, they told us you shouldn't be selling your hot sauce because it needs to be FDA approved. So I was kind of like mad and sad at the same time.
Frankie was like, I have a narrow idea what I'm going to do now. But he's not your average entrepreneur. That didn't extinguish his flame. He put his fundraisers together. He created some merch and got the sauce professionally bottled.
It is kind of hard going to school, doing homework, and also balancing a business. But I'm able to do it with the help of my parents and everyone in the spicy community.
And while his parents help behind the scenes, his dad says the real fuel comes from Frankie. Hey, Frankie, what's your advice for young entrepreneurs?
If you want to start your own business, you got to make sure you're dedicated and you want to keep going. And even when there's hard times, not to stop and keep pushing.
I see you, Frankie. Dream big, work hard, be prepared, and bring the heat. All right, superstars, 2 shout-outs for you today. Mrs. McIntyre at Wes Henderson High School in Hendersonville, North Carolina, thank you for making us a part of your day. And This shout out goes to all my waves at Oak Crest Middle School in Encinitas, California. I played football with Mrs. Frederick's hubby back in the day. Rise up, everyone, and keep up the good work. Tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday, so submit your vocabulary word to my latest post on Instagram, at CoyWire or at CNN10, and we're going to choose a winner to work into tomorrow's show. Don't forget to put the definition in there and your teacher's name if you'd like a shout-out. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm CoyWire, and we are CNN10.